Episode 68.
Worth the wait.
Yes, this is Ethnically Ambiguous.
Episode 60, you said that.
This week, we're going to break down some election news and updates with a very special guest, Lloyd Galbraith. Did I say that right or wrong? Galbraith.
Whenever, however.
Just say it right now. However you want to say it now.
Galbraith.
Oh my God, that was breathy and really sensual.
Galbraith.
Lloyd is our really cool friend. Yeah. You don't even know till you know.
He's a fashion photographer, a fashion journalist. He is one of the writers and photographers for Subvert Magazine, and we talk shit the whole episode, and then we get personal, and it's really great. Stick around.
Do that.
You only cry twice.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Ah! Wow!
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? Wow, that was a really polite thing to start with.
You're right. Fuck you!
But like a lot of times people ask how you are and not really care about the answer. They
That's
just,
true.
Like,
I say, hey, how are you? And then I immediately stop listening.
That's when I learn someone's name. Or no, I don't learn it. They say their name and I'm so focused on saying mine and having a good handshake that I never hear their name in response. Like I'll just be like, hey, I'm Shireen. And I'll hear myself saying my name and I will not hear themselves saying their name.
Mm. Well, people always go like, hey, I'm... And then they say it and you're like, I honestly have no fucking clue what you just said. People today, say their name too fast.
They really do. No, I mean, because they've said it a million times, but I've never heard it before, you know? Today we have a very special guest joining us in our studio. I want him to introduce himself, though, because I would rather him do it himself.
Hi, I'm Lloyd. I'm a fashion journalist and I work at a fashion magazine called Subvert Magazine. You may have seen Anna and Shireen in it a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Talking shit.
Thanks to
talking
you.
Talking about the haters.
Yeah. It was thanks to Lloyd, who reached out to us via email, that we were featured on the magazine. We had an amazing photo shoot that you took, that you were you were a phenomenal photographer. The art and makeup was amazing. He's very talented. Follow him on all the socials. We'll plug them at the end, but you have to listen to the whole episode before we plug them.
So. Yeah, that's right. Lloyd was first a listener and then reached out to us and then got us in Subvert, and we've all been best friends ever since.
I'm just so glad. This is maybe the best thing that happened this year.
You know, it's been fun.
It was really wild when I realized I didn't have your phone number because all we do is talk over DM on different platforms.
We just talk shit on Instagram, Twitter,
everywhere. We just DM each other all over the place being like, at each other. And
not
then,
even realizing the medium that we're doing that on. It's like a phone, usually.
And then you text me like some emojis that I found like someone was going to kill me. And you're like, it's me.
I sent you the trash can emoji, the other trash can emoji, and the clown emoji.
Yeah,
and
I was like, that's terrifying.
But it was hints. Like,
like, who am I? I'm garbage clown?
Have you seen me?
And I was like, oh no, who is this? And you're like, it's Lloyd. And I was like, how the fuck do I not have your phone number? We talk so much.
Well, and you asked me to come in, you're like, we're just going to talk shit. And I was like, oh, okay. And go ahead. Like, I wasn't sure, but.
So we brought Lloyd in because if you haven't heard, voting was last week. And we wanted to just like recap what's happening with the elections that happened and the House of Representatives and talk some shit with our buddy Lloyd.
Yeah, so something Lloyd and I have been talking a lot about over DM is Prop 10 and how that shit didn't pass.
Off.
Can you talk a little about the people you're interacting with, like these psycho, like... So, and if you don't know, in Los Angeles, Prop 10, it was the one to basically bring back rent control in LA because there was a law in like the 70s or 80s, I can't remember, that came in that like stopped certain areas and certain single family homes and apartment complexes built after a certain time. Basically telling them they don't have to have rent control. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to pass a fucking law in LA because LA rents are insane.
Yeah.
We pay like, I pay like $17,000 for a closet.
Mm.
That might be an exaggeration. I mean, it's not that far off.
A lot. Like, most people do. more.
And unless you've been in the same building or apartment rather for a long ass time, you're going to be paying a lot.
Like, your rent gets raised every
Well, the hardest part is that I feel like people kind of get trapped in their buildings because they're like, oh, I can't like front $3,000 to like switch apartments right now.
That's how
but
I feel.
I can be like $100 more, but then it builds up every year.
That's how I've been in the same building for literally 6 years because I just, that's the only place I've lived in
Where
LA.
Else am I supposed to go that I can like afford?
Nowhere.
It's crazy. Yeah. So Prop 10 didn't pass.
And I guess Prop 10 was more, it was to repeal that, like, measure that was made, I think, in the 80s or 70s. And it, like, all the, I saw so much propaganda and ads against it. And the reason I started talking to you about it is, like, I'd just be, like, watching music video. And then, like, an old, sad person would come up on YouTube and be like, they're ruining my life. Like, they're taking away everything. And I was just like, this is too fishy that I'm seeing, like, three ads a day for this. I have to look into it. And so many people were misinformed. Like, it literally was just making it available for people to start passing legislation. But everyone thought it was like, it's this rule that, like, once it happens, like, we're not going to be able to control anything. And I was, like, beefing with people on this journalist's Instagram. And they were, the first thing they went to was like, but beachfront property, like, not everyone can live there, like, just like, and I'm like, so you hear rent control and the first thing you think about is like your beach house, like, you're out of touch, like, you don't know what this is about.
I feel like I've learned that if there's a side that's being advertised more for, it has more money behind it, and it's usually the wrong position. Like the Prop 8, the dialysis prop, the no ad campaign was so like expansive and everywhere and everywhere, and that's just like proof that like who can afford that but the richies, you know?
It's, millions were put into it. I don't know the exact numbers, we should look them up, but it was so much money was put into advertising against it. And I was out in Calabasas like a few days ago, and just like all the exits, no one Prop 10. And it's like, these people aren't thinking about it, they just live in their gated communities and their mansions, and they see that and they're like, oh, I have a friend who's a property owner,
right,
my grandpa has some land. And
or even like, you don't even have to know anything about it, but when you're in the polling place and you think of like, oh, what's this prop, I did see a sign that said no, I guess I'll vote no.
Like, the signs say like, run away from Prop 10.
Which is crazy, because it's like, what? It's just to make housing affordable. Like, it's not that insane. It doesn't mean that all these poor people are going to move to Calabasas, because it does not necessarily mean Calabasas rents are going to be cheaper.
No. I mean, it terrifies me because I'm afraid of LA turning into another San Francisco, where only the elite and the rich are able to live in the city proper and everyone else is on the outskirts.
So over more than $100 million was spent by like crazy people trying, basically like rich landlords probably trying to stop rent control.
It's really problematic too, because with the Olympics, I don't know if they're coming or not. I don't know if all the logistics with that, but if that, if we don't have rent control before that, like, we're fucked.
They're coming, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sweep this town clean of homeless people. They're going to put them all on trains and send them to, like, Portland or some shit.
San Diego, probably.
Yeah, San Diego.
Where are the Rajneesh when you need them?
Yeah, to collect them all. No, it's going to be bad. The Olympics are going to destroy L.A.
I don't know what to
do
about
that. You heard
it here. Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know if I want that to happen.
Well, the Olympics, I lived in Salt Lake, and they fucked up, like, the public transit. Like, they were going to do an underground metro. Mm-hmm. And the Olympics came, they ended up doing a light rail in the city. Super bad plan. Got people from hotels to the events, basically. Uh-huh. But 10 or 15 years later, it's like they have a metro system that doesn't work that well. Yeah. They're trying to fix it now, but the damage is done. Like,
Olympics just, like, leave a trail wherever they go of, like, damage and awfulness and, like, irreparable, like, just, like, I don't understand.
Like, Brazil was really fucked up. Like, there's just empty, like hotels and apartment buildings.
Oh, well, see, that thing is, like, with places like that, there's no infrastructure to continue, like, supporting those literal infrastructure. Like, they don't have anything, so everything just becomes abandoned.
And they put so much money into the Olympics that, like, when it's over, they're just like, oh, we have no more money to, like, reconstruct this, so peace.
Also, like, we don't actually have a use for, like, a giant stadium anymore. Yeah. We have, like, one team.
Yeah.
We don't need, like, 50 ml.
And I just feel like the Olympics are just this, like, American exceptionalism bullshit.
I completely
where it's,
agree.
Like, we won everything, and, like, it's just,
I understand the point, I guess, of the Olympics, but I'm also not, like, that, I mean, like,
it's just morphed into something bad.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm just a contrarian, y'all.
It's fine.
I want to go through some people that won, though, like the good part of what happened.
The good, the bad, and the good?
The good, the bad, and the great. The great. Well, I did. So this is one tweet I did want to shout out really quick. I saw a tweet that said, if you feel sad today, just imagine Mike Pence swearing in two women into Congress with the Quran.
That's so funny. And I was like, he's going to fucking die.
It made my life.
Because they get to choose.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, if you are being sworn in, you get to choose what book and or
well, of course.
Script you...
If you're a Muslim, you're not going to use the Bible, you know? Like, that makes sense.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that made me feel great, actually.
You bitch, Pence.
But it really was, despite some things not passing and some people not winning, Beto didn't win.
Yes, Beto lost in Texas. Very close race. Ted Cruz is... a melting candle or whatever the fuck.
Oh my god.
He's just gonna looks like he's disintegrate melting. Before the end of this next term.
I don't know if you are following our Twitters or tweets or whatever, but I tweeted this graphic that showed the demographics of the people that voted in Texas, and Black women were 95% blue, like Democratic. Black men were also like in the 80s. Latino men and women were both like very high Democratic votes, and then fucking white men and women ruining it for the rest of us. Just like, I know it's not all you whiteys, but like, y'all are killing me. It appalls me that white women keep voting against their interests. Like, I understand maybe men don't want to give up their place of power, like, fuck you guys, but mm-hmm. like the women, like, come on. Like,
doesn't make any sense. They just don't know. Sense. And I were you the one that told me it's like just a lot of evangelists?
Dude, it's totally just evangelical America just like trying to push this agenda. Like,
yeah,
they want to like bring on the second coming of
right,
Jesus.
They just
like,
they just listen to their pastors yeah. or whatever, and then they're like, yeah, and all these like fucking churches are too involved in politics yeah. in these like yeah. southern states, and it's like it's too much.
It just it's upsetting. But I did like
Ted Cruz couldn't even figure out Facebook Live.
What was he trying to do on there?
He was like, trying to do a Facebook Live thing, and the video is truly horrible. Where they have it like sideways when it should be like landscape, yeah. like they have it like, you know, vertical instead of landscape, and then they turn it landscape, but there's like something blocking Ted Cruz. It like makes no sense. Like it's not that hard.
Yeah. Oh my god. But I did like. I don't think this is the end for Rourke.
Yeah,
it's just the beginning, and his
President
like,
Beto.
It seems like he's getting propped up for that.
Yeah,
I think if that is the silver lining of his loss, like he gets more popular yeah. and like more acceleration, then great. You know what I mean? Like, that's great. But I did want to shout out all the like historic wins for Congress, and there were a lot of women of color. Women fucking killed it this year, or this election rather, and there were women of color, Native American women, Black women, Muslim women, Hispanic women, immigrant and refugee women, openly gay women. And even though there's still a lot of work to be done.
You know, the one woman everyone keeps forgetting, an Iranian woman won. Yeah. An Iranian American woman won. And she's not
out,
on yeah. any of the like images that people put out. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, what's
Anna
her name?
Anna V. Eskamani is the mm-hmm. first Iranian American woman state representative of the U.S. Congress.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Florida
hates everybody.
This
yeah,
is amazing. It's
fucking
so
the problem child of this fucking country.
She flipped it.
Yeah. And then, so she is the first Iranian American woman. Ehlan Omar is the first Somali and American Muslim woman in U.S. history. She's headed to D.C., and she's also a refugee from Somalia. She's basically like a living proof against Trump's Islamophobia and Muslim ban. And she said, we are going to Washington. She's in her acceptance, she's like, we're going to Washington, everyone. And she's like very proud of being the first of this. She has a really big following in Minnesota, where she's from. So that made me really happy. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the youngest woman ever to be elected into Congress.
I'm so excited about her.
I just love that, like, we're getting represented. Like, the millennial
garbage
that we
thinking
are.
Just, like, thinking of Queens and Brooklyn and, yeah. like, having her as the person. I saw this article today that was, like, trying to smear her being, like, she doesn't have money to, like, get her apartment in D.C. because her salary hasn't kicked in yet.
Good, she's
and
relatable.
And it's just, like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. But also, like, it's about time old white guys are not yeah. the sole representatives of fucking yeah. humanity. You know what I mean? So fuck them. But then, so Ayanna Pressley, she's the first Black congresswoman in Massachusetts. Charisse Davis, openly gay Native American woman, she won Kansas. Deborah Holland, another Native American woman, won New Mexico. Those are the first Native American women to ever win.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking amazing. Also, like, sad that's never happened before, I think. about time, but I'm really happy for them.
They're like paving the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so there were two Muslim women elected. The first openly gay Native American woman that I just mentioned, the youngest woman that I just mentioned, and then the first openly gay male also elected. So it's a fucking big deal. Cool.
Yeah, a lot of things I didn't see happening at all, especially with queer people. I'm very surprised. The Native American girls from Kansas or Nebraska?
One of the openly gay one is from Kansas.
And she's also like an MMA fighter, right?
Yeah, she's
like,
fucking she's badass. Like ripped.
Yeah.
She's a fucking... Oh my god, I love Icon. Her. Also important to note, in Florida, talking about the problem child, it passed Amendment 4, which is restoring voting rights to ex-felons. Florida, because a felony, I mean, obviously it's not the greatest thing all the time, but you can get a felony from speeding above 100 miles. Yeah. Like, it's not like you kill someone and get a felony. Like, it's not, you should be able to vote just because you have a speeding ticket.
Well, and people probably were charged with things that they probably didn't, like, maybe do, or, like, their possession charge was upped to they had more. Like, there's so many people with felonies that, like, they're
don't
not violent.
Like, they're just like, I had a stem of weed.
A racist cop pulled them over and was like, 2 years.
Yeah. Also, Colorado can no longer use slavery as a punishment for crime. That was a real thing.
Okay.
I can't believe that existed to begin with.
Yep.
It's all those weird, like, leftover laws that are just like, wait, what the
1906.
Fuck?
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck do you think this is?
Also, Jared Polis, also in Colorado, he's the first openly gay male governor. He's also the first Jewish governor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. A lot of firsts. It's pretty fucking cool.
Oh, wait. I have to talk about what I'm happy about. I was traumatized by Utah as a child. I was moved there when I was like 10. But
where did you come from before that?
Texas and Seattle. I kind of was all over the place when I was younger, but medical weed just got passed, and I can just see all of the old white Mormon men, like, they're so mad right now. They're like, my street is gonna smell like weed. Like, and I texted my sister, I was like, are you high?
I'm just waiting for all these people to die in 15 years so they can stop determining the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think it's more than 15 years, isn't it?
I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just being hopeful.
And the worst thing in the world is that fucking Florida race where Brian Kemp basically fucked over so many people who were trying to vote. He basically made it so they weren't able to vote till like the day or something, like the day of, or even like they just can't vote at all because they're
mail-ins, right?
Yeah, their voting forms didn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Kemp is in charge of that, even though he's basically running for the governor job, which is a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
To say the least, yeah.
And so Stacey Abrams, his competitor, I mean, currently they're... it needs to be investigated what happened there, because clearly
they're doing a recount, right?
Are they going to do it?
That's what I heard on the radio.
They're doing a recount right now, and like I saw pictures, and there was like polling places with 3 machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
no, that's the problem.
Thousands of people waiting.
It would take like 5 hours to vote, which is not okay. And it was mostly in like lower income communities.
Exactly,
it's like, oh, what a coincidence, you shady fucks.
100% on purpose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's bad. And then they're recounting in Florida as well with Andrew McGillum and the Republican whose name I just blanked on. What's his that fool's
Florida,
name?
Florida, some shady shit's going on.
Ron DeSantis. Because apparently there was like 10K or so votes that weren't accounted for, and you only need like a 0.5% margin to be able to trigger a recount.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to just turn out to be the same, but that's a good, I mean...
I feel like she got the popular vote.
Right.
If I know
she Stacey?
Did.
Oh, yeah. Stacey
definitely
got.
I just got PTSD when you said that.
Oh, sorry.
One more. I do want to shout out one more Democrat, Cindy Axon or Axney. She's the first woman in Iowa to ever hold a Congress seat.
Oh my god, that's so
like
good.
In Iowa. Like, fuck yeah. And also Democrat Maxine Waters from California. She won by a landslide. She's the new chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee. What was the last thing I wanted to say? Oh, Democrat Johanna Hayes. She's the former National Teacher of the Year who supports stronger gun safety laws. The first black woman ever to be elected to represent Connecticut in U.S. Congress. We fucking need that so bad. Especially, I don't know if you heard about this really tragic mass shooting that happened in Thousand Oaks, California last week when you hear this. But
it happened this morning for us.
Right, yeah, just barely.
I was on set and like everyone on the crew were like shook. It's really awful.
It's so close to us.
Yeah. I had people on set that were like, that's my hometown. And they were like worried that their friends were there. And like, but yeah, we need people with stronger gun safety laws. Yeah. And so I'm happy at least we have like hope of that maybe happening one day.
On that note, gun control advocate Lucy McBath defeated her Republican incumbent in Georgia, and her son died in a shooting in 2012. Wow. And so she, beat Karen Handel officially because Karen, what is it, conceded, whatever that word is. I'm only really learning about the word conceded thanks to
thanks to politics.
I just think everyone in every state needs to look up their reps, and if you see any money from the NRA to anyone, just you have
to just dismiss them. Yeah, they're dead.
They are dead at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. But the record breaking women in Congress is so amazing.
It gave me hope.
Over 100, right?
Yeah. Also, like, so many people voted for people of color that you're like, fuck yeah, finally you guys are acknowledging that, like, we have something to say and we're better than your fellow white counterpart.
Yeah, they're gonna come through, like, on the floor. Like
I was like very unhopeful for the majority of my life, but like also like this year and like since Trump took office. And then I watched the RBG documentary. I was like, fucking,
who, by the way, fell this morning. She's in the she got out of the hospital, but she broke 3 ribs, I believe.
She's in my
fractured 3 ribs. Is that not fractured, not mean broken?
I thought it did.
What happened? She just like fell.
She fell, or Brett Kavanaugh tripped her.
I know. I'm just like, when I heard that,
you
she
guys,
got hurt.
She's one of the only, she's the one of 4 Democratic justices, the oldest justice at 85. Like, we need her.
We can't risk it.
I need her. I don't want her to leave.
At
ever.
This point, we cannot risk her.
Cast
but
your
apparently,
spells for her.
She has like a really insane workout thing, like regimen.
She's a cancer
she's
survivor.
Like,
she's like,
yeah. She's yeah, gonna, she like had her cancer removed and like went back to work the next day. Like, let's do this.
And she had heart surgery.
Don't think you can bring me down.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I need her to live forever. But
she will.
But after this huge sweep of women, I was like also like hopeful again. I was like, yeah. So yeah, we'll talk some more shit with Lloyd after a quick commercial break.
And we're back.
You want to
talk about the first Palestinian women?
Yes.
To get elected?
I 100% did not want to not talk about this. This was like, it made me cry when I read this and like saw these pictures. But the first Palestinian woman in Congress, she's officially been elected. On Wednesday, the family of Rashida Tlaib, she's the first Palestinian American woman to be elected to U.S. Congress. And she celebrated her victory. Her family celebrated her victory in their home in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Her uncle, there's a picture of him that there's a picture of her on a tablet in his hand, and he's looking at her, and it's so sweet. I literally cried when I saw this article. She's a Democrat. She ran virtually unopposed in Michigan's 13th congressional district, which encompasses southwest Detroit and its suburbs in the city of Dearborn. There's a huge Arab and Muslim population in Michigan and in Detroit in particular. Like, when my dad was visiting the states for the first time and deciding where to settle, he went to Detroit first to like scope it out. So there's a huge community over there of Muslim Americans.
Or even just like Arabs.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Her uncle, Bassam, said that she's become a source of pride for Palestine and the entire Arab and Muslim world. She's 44, and she is alongside the Minnesota representative that I mentioned earlier, Ihlan Omar. She's one of the 2 first Muslim women to ever join the congressional ranks. She told the Detroit Free Press on election night on Tuesday, "I'm going to speak truth to power. I obviously have to set an agenda that's not going to be a priority for the current president, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to push back." And as I said, her district is home to one of the largest Arab American populations in the U.S. Her win highlights a wave of Palestinian diaspora candidates and activists who've embraced the Democratic Party's progressive wing at a low point in the U.S.-Palestinian relations under the Democratic current president, or the Republican current president, rather. So her election is seen by a lot of Palestinians and her family and like Arabs even here. It's like a glimmer of hope in a very dark chapter in the Palestinian people's history. And again, there's like that hope that I feel sometimes, like I'm mostly dead inside, but then something will happen and I'm like, wait, maybe there is hope. And her uncle, again, Bassam, said that she stood against Trump at a time where even our Arab leaders are unwilling to face him, which is very true. And I really want to thank Rami Ayoub, who's the writer for this Reuters article. The link will be in our footnotes and the description of this episode. Click it to see the photo I talked about with her uncle. You don't have to be represented by an old rich white guy that's always come for money. You can be represented by people that maybe look like you, don't come from a lot. Like, I like that this is the new trend, and I hope it continues forever.
I do hope so as well. I hope they also, it's not like a swing back where they're like, oh, these fucking women of color are real bossy.
Wow. Are you on your period? what if all their periods sync up?
Lit.
Yeah. That would actually be amazing. Yeah. Just all dudes burst into flames.
Yeah.
What if that was it?
Is that lit. A dream come true?
You were gonna say something?
Oh, I just think, like, especially with Ocasio from Brooklyn, like, she's what, 28? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I just think it shows all of us. Like, I'm 26. I think we're all around the same age, but like,
no, she's 45.
She's a lot of Botox.
Well, I just think it's like a good example to show like people in our like age range that it's like we can like get out there and like.
Yeah.
She's 29.
She's under 30.
Yeah, like that's huge.
That's fucking
like,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I hope that election coverage, honestly, like midterms, if you didn't know, Democrats took the House, the Senate stayed red with the Republicans. But I think it's huge because it's huge. Now a lot of things that don't need to go through the Senate that just have to go through the House, like where the fuck your goddamn tax returns, mm-hmm. Trump. It's about to be wild out here because I think Democrats have like they have a list of shit that they're ready to come for. And Republicans also have that list like, we're going to have to make up some stuff to fucking cover our asses.
Trump already fired Sessions because he's afraid of what might happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's afraid of an investigation happening, so he just literally fired him.
Yeah, which, by the way, it's very unconstitutional for him to hire that Matthew Whitaker guy because that's, like, his bestie, and it's not okay.
It's against, what's it called? A conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's just shady.
This whole administration is a conflict of interest.
Also, my favorite thing about Trump's like day after election press conference, he kept just being like, God, I just have so much investigation fatigue. And it's like, oh, how convenient, you bitch. Like, of course you have investigation fatigue. You're the reason all these investigations are happening. Don't you think we do as well? Like, we have Trump fatigue. We have drama fatigue.
We're
like,
tired.
Yeah. Like, we're out here, like, being psycho because you just kept doing, you just keep saying stupid shit and tweeting stupid shit. And, like, one day we're like, is North Korea gonna bomb us? Next day we're like, is Iran gonna bomb us? Like, what is happening? And you have the nerd to be like, it's investigation fatigue.
And I didn't like, I only heard a part of it when I was in my car, but I didn't like that he was like, the Democrats have this horrible campaign, this blue wave, if there even was one. Blah, blah, blah. It was just like, fuck you, dude. Like, oh my God. It just made me so livid. I hate his fucking face and voice and everything about
fuck
him. Also, why couldn't Trump have fallen and broken his fucking hip? Like, why do the good ones fall?
You have to, like, move around to fall.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Is the binding spell tonight we were talking about?
Wait,
if we want to make him trip.
I thought that was like a confidential
thing. Do you know
where
that is at?
Should we publicize this?
That's a confidential thing?
Binding spell is not confidential.
I was making a joke that this was like a top secret thing that we were going to curse.
Our personal binding spell.
The right has actually heard about this, and they're literally like, the left they're committing witchcraft against us. And it's like, we fucking wish we could just literally zap you guys the shit on out of here, but
like,
we can't.
It's not magic, it's an IUD.
We're gonna try.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna try to do a binding spell. We'll see if it works. We'll see if he trips tomorrow.
Over his own, like, shoelaces. He's like, I didn't have shoes with shoelaces on. Like, you do
watch
now,
your
bitch.
Step.
You do now, bitch.
We
got an email that Anna's going to read out loud. A couple weeks ago, we did like an advice-ish email where we got like an interesting email. We read it and we like gave our opinion on it. We want to do that again because this email is fucking worth it.
Yeah, so this is from Jade. I won't say your last name to protect your identity, Jade. Even though, whatever. So she emailed... I love that people like CC me. Like, my own personal email, which I always forget my email is, like, out in the public world. And I'm always like, how the fuck did this person get my email? Not you, Jade, but just in my daily life, people just email me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then if you just Google my name, my email comes up.
Result number one.
Yeah, you guys, I'm an idiot. Anyway, So this is from Jade. She wrote, "Hi Anna and Shireen. Hello, longtime listener. Here emailing to ask for some advice per your new segment regarding emails about weird experiences. Thank you for listening, Jade, because you were the only person who's emailed since we came up with that segment idea."
Yes.
Better late than never. You know?
So here is the tea. And it's funny because she wrote tea like T-E-A.
And I love it.
Oh, she
I
didn't mean, write the...
No, she didn't write tea because she's out here. She's isn't out here
usually,
being...
Wait, isn't it usually T-E-A? Like spill the tea?
No.
No. Some people just say the letter T.
I thought it was like spill the tea. Like, what are you spilling if not actual tea?
I thought she was being funny because she's like half Persian, so she was being like, "Here's the tea."
Wait, it's usually just the letter T.
Yeah,
I text the letter T.
What does that
T.
even stand for? If not,
I don't know.
Oh, truth, Sophie says.
Is it?
My mind
I
has
didn't
just
even
been blown.
Think about like the logistics of it. No, I just am like the tea.
I always assumed it was the liquid form of the drink, the hot beverage.
That is funny because in Iran, when I'm joking, I like. When I'm trying to like talk shit with my cousins, I say like set the tea in Farsi, like put the tea on. I'm fucking showing up. I got some shit to tell you.
The same thing in Arabic. This is saying in Arabic.
Yeah. When I'm chayo bezar, and then I'm like, I'm fucking coming. I got some drama about the family to tell you. I posted a photo on Instagram. Everyone's mad in Iran.
Go off.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just had to. My mind is a little bit blown, but continue.
It's okay. So she wrote, "Here is the tea, T-E-A, which I thought was a joke, but please, Jade, let us know what you do or what you mean.
What is your
Are you
view
also
on
of the
tea?
Belief that it's always T-E-A? Please let me know.
We don't know.
Yeah. She wrote, "I'm half Persian, but mostly raised by my Persian mom." Yeah, that other not Persian father. I don't want to assume who your dad. I'm sorry. "And also every white kid in my growing up experience othered me due to my appearance, different parenting, different values. So I primarily identify with my Middle Easternness." Good for you, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl, ignore them white folk.
Accept your otherness.
Mm-hmm. You are other and other is perfect.
Yeah, because weird is a fucking luxury.
Yeah. She writes, "I have this white pseudo friend," I love this, "who has a history of fetishizing people of color around her and really fetishizing Arab cultures / people due to her taking Arabic / focus on the Middle East in her international affairs coursework. Isn't that always the case? ? Love her. And her involvement in the Palestinian human rights movement. She has historically been weirdly competitive with me about her knowledge of the Middle East due to her taking Arabic and often studying topics in the Middle East. She is one of those friends who only acknowledges my brown half when it benefits her, for clout to say when she has diverse friends.
Garbage.
But other than that, treats me like we have the same, white experiences. We don't. I personally have never eaten a casserole. I do not yell at my mother. Thanks." That's such a good burn. That is such a good
burn. That's the encapsulation of what I believed white culture was for the majority of my life.
Yes. She writes, "There was even a time when my mom came to visit me and had dinner with all my friends and was explaining how she is a literal linguist and speaks four languages, including Farsi. And this girl weirdly compared my mom's experiences as a linguist to her being an Arabic 101. She just always wants to hop on everything about the Middle East all the time and tends to try to steamroll me in my experience and my knowledge in the process. So, knowing this, she is now studying abroad in Jordan. Bitch. I am repeatedly made uncomfortable by her social media posts about her experience because I have a bad feeling when she returns, this weird competitiveness will only increase tenfold. Mm-hmm. More specifically, she is obsessed with the word Habibi, Habibti.
I fucking lost it at this
and
part.
Is getting laptop stickers that look like Supreme, but say Habibi, LMAO. That's laugh my ass off. I'm literally Middle Eastern, but because my family doesn't speak Arabic, it feels wrong to be obsessed with the word myself. That is normal.
Yep.
I think something like that is low-key fetishizing. It reminds me of Drake literally pretending he is Caribbean and saying ting and gal constantly during that one period after he dated Rihanna. And it makes me really uncomfortable.
She's going off here. Yeah. Yes. So,
yeah. And so in sum, what do I do about this? I am constantly experiencing identity crisis as a mixed gal with lots of intergenerational trauma regarding hiding our Iranian-ness for safety. So this feels even more invalidating to feel trampled upon by a white girl who thinks she has clout because she, in quotes, takes Arabic. For context, I am not close with her and I'm not planning on being friends with her at all when she returns. But overall, what do I do about this? How do I take this to heart? How do I not take this to heart? Have you experienced this kind of thing? Also, do I call her out for the Habibi obsession if I don't even speak Arabic? And I'm not even sure if I'm projecting and it's actually fine. Please help. Love, Jade.
Okay, first impressions, Jade. I love you so much.
Yes.
This is maybe the best email I've ever read. I'm sorry for your experience, but Thank you so much for writing to us, because first of all, you're hilarious. But second of all, I'm really glad you have already decided you're not going to be her friend, because mm-hmm. that was the first thing I was going to suggest when I was reading this. Mm-hmm. You already called her a pseudo friend in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I was like, just garbage her. but I think if you've already made the decision that you don't want to continue the friendship, you need, I think it would, even if she doesn't really register what you're saying, she needs to hear that she is whitewashing the culture mm-hmm. that you really are a part of. And not even, you don't have anything to do with this. She's just being like, she's appropriating a culture that isn't hers. And everything that you said in the email, she should fucking hear. Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times white people don't understand that they're intruding on another culture that isn't theirs, just because they're like, and they take it as caring about the culture when really it is fetishizing. And there's a really fine line, but it's obvious when you see it. Like if she was involved in like, I don't know exactly what the line is, but she sounds fucking annoying.
That's the thing. This girl sounds like a fucking pill. I sent yeah. that to you over email. Oh my, even if she wasn't fetishizing, she just seems annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but to correct people who, like your mom, who's like an older woman, who's like, I'm from Iran. I also speak all these languages. Also, I'm a linguist. Also, bitch, you're an Arabic 101.
Yeah.
Like, relax. Back off. Like, I can see this type of person, because we all knew them growing up.
Oh, of
like,
course.
Like, just the know-it-all
freshman
weirdo.
Year of college.
Yeah. yeah.
But also, like, can you imagine every white person that took fucking Spanish pretending mm-hmm. that they are, like,
being like, hola, como estas?
Could I get a burrito?
Going to, like, a taco truck yeah. and ordering in wrong words.
Can
Spanish.
I get some queso on the side? Mucho.
El pollo?
If you've ever seen that, that's, like, the darkest thing you can witness.
But that's
the, yeah. like, a white person who doesn't know.
No, but if that sounds ridiculous to you, that's how we feel when it's our culture.
Yeah, we were being offensive on purpose to show you how offensive yeah. it is.
Exactly. But, God. I mean, like,
this bitch.
I'm not gonna hate on her. Like, if in 10 years she's like doing great things for Jordan and Palestine, more power to her. But
I doubt it. This seems like a phase.
I think she needs to be told. I think she needs to be told
program.
That like this is yeah. just another form of white feminism. Like,
yeah.
like it's not. You're not helping the cause by taking it over.
I feel like she needs to understand that you do not come for people of color like that. Like, you don't try and act like you know more, because you will never have had that experience
no.
of, like, you were never raised the same way. Like I said, white people yell at their moms. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing.
Yep.
I've witnessed, like, how people speak to their
and
moms.
And they call them by the first names.
Oh, my God. I don't
understand
yeah,
that.
I do that.
Yeah. Sometimes I get, like, angsty to my parents. And, like, I can get at this in older age, my parents don't really acknowledge it anymore. Like, I can be like, ah, and, like, freak out. But when I used to do that, only because I'm an adult now and they just literally write it off like she's a bitch.
Oh, I still can't do that.
But literally growing up, I used to get, like, slapped in the face for, like, mm-hmm. acting out like that. Literally slapped across the face because, you know, Middle Eastern parents really like to they want you to feel your shame, like, in your most, like, vulnerable mm-hmm. your face. It's so real,
the moneymaker.
Yeah, like, and I, you know, it's so crazy to me, like, you did not grow up like this girl who actually has Middle Eastern experiences, and she may not be Arab, but I mean, I'm talking to you. I'm not saying she, you, Jade. You had these experiences. You grew up a certain way. You had to deal with certain otherness, like you were saying. Like, people just assumed you were, hey, I don't know what where you're from because mm-hmm. you look a certain way.
Yeah.
And this bitch probably did not have to experience that at all. And yeah,
yeah.
so you picked up a hobby trying to be Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
That's cool. Who knows where you'll be in 10 years when you're kind of over it. Or
yeah.
maybe you work at the UN, because I don't really know what you can do with that unless you become
yeah.
like a professor or work in education. Because, honey, I'm telling you, no one cares that you speak Arabic. Nobody cares.
Well, maybe the CIA, but who knows? Me
oh,
and my
sure.
sisters
have
both been
government.
Coached by the CIA.
Really?
Me and my older sister, yeah.
That's so weird.
Because they want us to be, like, spies and, like, help them, like... Well,
are
was,
you
like...
allowed to talk about this?
I guess we'll find
cut
out.
Cut this, cut it,
I guess
cut
we'll
it.
Find out. I don't really give a shit, but... what was I gonna say? Oh, I just stepped on my phone. That was... I was like, what's so slidey on my feet? On my phone. What was I gonna say? This reminds me, in college, I had a friend who was a quarter black, a quarter Japanese, and half white, and he just looked like a mixed race person.
Yeah.
And once someone, and he was very involved in, like, the black community and, like, very proud of being part black and stuff, and someone said that he wasn't allowed to feel that way because he didn't look black enough.
See, that's crazy.
So I think it's I think you need to talk to this person, and I think you'd feel better after talking to her and just getting your peace of mind out. Even if it's like a wall, like at least she heard you, and maybe she'll get taught, maybe she'll be said this, like, or told the same things again and again and again until she finally gets it. And maybe she's been told these things and hasn't gotten it yet, but just, you have to tell her that like there's no comparison to your experience and hers. You're a mixed race person. You've always felt othered, and her being competitive with you does not help. Like, I had this one guy, like, my name is Persian, so I'm told that I'm mistakenly thought to be Persian all the time. And this, like, this pretty well-known filmmaker, actually, we were at dinner, and he was talking about the Shah or something, and he assumed I was Persian, even though he's white, and because of my name, I'm assuming, but he said something about the Shah, and I didn't really quite understand him. He was like, wait, you're Persian, you don't know this fact about the Iranian Revolution, and like how important it was, and all this other stuff. And I was like, excuse me? Like, don't try to one-up me just because you have, like, you think you're a genius. Like,
you read an article.
Yeah, exactly. Like, your experience is a fucking cakewalk compared to mine. So,
that is crazy how people just, you know what? That drives me crazy when someone's like, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, like, just that, like, well, you know,
well,
that
actually,
like, noise, you're like, oh, fuck off forever.
It's a bummer, though, because it feels like, I don't know, it feels like, Jade, that, like, this girl has made you kind of police yourself and your own identity, and you, like, don't ever let anyone make you feel like you're not enough or, like, they're taking away a part of your identity, because she can't take that from you. That's who you are. And her actions, like, you just, I think I do this to myself all the time, just being queer. Like, I find myself policing my queerness.
Yeah.
And I have to just be like, wait, I'm not only am I being policed by other fucking people, but then I'm internalizing it and then being like, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear this out, or maybe I shouldn't do my makeup today. And it's like, don't let other people make you police yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. You shouldn't feel, because this girl is coming at you so hard with her weird, because this is all also her own shit. She might be insecure about not, you know, having anything to bring to the table. So she's like, I've grasped onto this culture. I want to know more about it. And I'm somehow, like, pushing my obnoxious, like, love for it out in, like, the worst way ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need...
And she's being the opposite of what an ally is.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She's making you feel bad about who you are.
Yeah. She's Lena Dunhaming the situation.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my God.
But
she should write the Syrian refugee story.
Yeah.
So on that note, we'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back.
I
did bring this up a little bit last week, but that girl that said me and my sisters weren't as Arab as she was because she would never date, like, or marry a white guy, or, like, go outside of her culture, never have tattoos. I wasn't as Arab because I don't want to get married. Like, that's the same shit. That was from my own fucking, like, culture. So if that's coming from somewhere else, like, fuck that. There's no...
You know, I've experienced that with, like, really bitchy, like, family friend Iranian. There was, like, one family I found so horribly bitchy. They were so mean to me. Where they would be like, oh, should I speak in English? Do you prefer that?
Exactly.
And I'd be like, I honestly am not listening to what you're saying. So do... Like, I wouldn't say that. I'd be like, what? I don't care. But it would just be like, I don't give a shit because you're so bitchy and so into yourself that I don't care.
Yeah.
But, like, that's so rude to just turn to me and say that. And it's like, well, okay, here's the thing. Like, I actually go to Iran. Like, I don't know why you're trying to, like... It's weird when they, like... Just there's like this weird jealousy thing where they decide to just pick on you and you're like, well, you're starting shit with me because you clearly have an issue with me. Either it's jealousy or even your own bullshit, but it's like, there's nothing going on between us. Like, I've never said anything to you, really. Like, we're just family friends. Like, acknowledge me, move the fuck along. Like, you drink your goddamn tea, bitch.
But I do, Jade, to go back to your thing just for a moment, like, your feelings are so valid. I want to just, like, make sure you know that. I don't want you to give this girl any more power. Like, fuck her. She's small. She's does not mean anything in the world and the whole state of things. But I think after you, if you just do decide to sit down and, like, tell her how you feel, I definitely think it should be, like, an in-person convo. Like, I think you'll feel better. At least I would. The Habibi thing, I seriously lost it when I read it. Like, I almost peed myself. Like, I cannot believe that's a real thing.
It's an aesthetic for this girl.
Like, yeah, it's disgusting. It's like the same people that I criticized in the past in these episodes where they get Arabic tattoos, not knowing anything about the culture and or anything about the language, not helping the cause or anything. Like, that's just fetish. Like, that's fetishism. And you're not helping it at all. So your feelings are incredibly valid. I don't like that you're experiencing a constant identity crisis. Because I mean, I don't like that it's more like as a mixed girl, you probably feel that regardless. But she, I hate that she has the power to make it feel worse, and I want that to go away. And I think talking to her will make it go away, at least help.
But even if you know, in the end, like she's so inconsequential in your life, like it might be best to just push her out completely and just don't talk to her, don't hang out with her. If you know she tries to hang out with you or talk to you, be like, I'm sorry, like. You make me uncomfortable. Like, you don't even really have
sometimes
to explain
you just
yourself.
Gotta put those people on mute.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you just gotta push her away.
I'm of the belief that, like, I wanna educate someone, even if they don't hear me. Like, at least I told them my peace of mind, and it'll probably get brought up again because they're a fucking garbage dump, like, just walking around.
Yeah. You can do whatever your heart feels. We're just saying. You could either break it down to her, or you don't even have to because it's whatever you feel most comfortable with. Don't feel like, if it makes you even more uncomfortable, don't put yourself around her anymore than
you
need to.
Yeah, that's,
do what
that's
you have
point.
To do for yourself. There's nothing wrong with talking to her. Like, that's fine. Break it down for her. She's a dummy. But you also, honestly, this bitch. I straight up would ignore the shit out of her because I just hate interacting with people like that. Because there's like a vibe where you feel like nothing might get through to them and they might find a way to be a bitch even more. Like,
but we did see how
scary.
Jade went in the email, so I think she can handle this conversation. Like, it'd be
you
great.
Can do it.
I wish we could meet you one day. You're fucking badass.
Please let us know when she's back from Jordan.
tell us everything.
I want to know what happens if she like comes back like I have a new Arab boyfriend.
She has like a Lindsay Lohan accent.
Oh my god,
wait, she's trying to like collect refugees off the streets of Moscow.
What was she saying in that video? It was like,
oh my god,
don't mess with Pakistan,
don't fuck with Pakistan.
It's like, what,
like, what first the fuck of first of all is that accent? Second of all, why are you bringing
like
Pakistan into this?
New York girl. It's don't just, mess with Pakistan.
It's not even like funny.
What do you want? Tell America. What do you want?
Yeah. Just like,
yo, Jesus. You are crazy.
These fucking white women, they're just like
beyond.
Ruining our culture.
Lindsay Lohan-ing hella hard.
Yeah, she's just, she's being Lindsay Lohan. It's okay.
Yeah.
Also, like, she's studying abroad in Jordan. That's such a strange thing to me. Like, I would have never thought that. To just go to Jordan.
I knew
when you have no culture, I guess you just have to latch on to one that you think is cool.
I guess Jordan is the safest place if you want to go study abroad.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
but even Jordan has its issues. I mean, everywhere has its issues, but that's so fascinating to me, Jordan.
It's like the same people that are like obsessed with dating one race,
go
or it's obsessed with dating like,
oh my god,
that's not fucking chill. I have plenty of friends that are like, I'm not into Asians, I'm not into this. Like, that means you're racist.
Yeah,
that means like, if you, even if it's like, I only like black men, I only like white guys, still racist. Like, that's not.
I just googled study abroad in Jordan. It's just a bunch of, it's all the photos are just like white kids on camels.
Oh god, I hate everything.
That's actually kind of amazing. It's just like all these white kids, like camels. Like, heard that's all they
camels?
Have. Like, what is
that's
going on?
That's all they know. That's all they're taught. Oh my god.
Like, white girls in their life.
I
like,
have to leave.
It's like those photos of white girls with like a bunch of black
Google
kids.
Google it, you'll
in
see.
Africa.
Yeah, it's the Jordan equivalent.
Yeah.
That's actually really funny to me. I don't know why. Just studying, or just because how I imagine studying abroad, and then just put them in like a Middle Eastern
country.
Nah,
they just wanted to ride a camel.
Yeah.
That's why they went. They wanted the selfie.
Yeah. But yeah, if you guys have emails like this or experiences like this, you don't have to be a minority to send us an email. You can be whatever you want. If you have an experience you want to talk about or want our opinion on, we can continue this new segment. Email us at ethnicallyambig@gmail.com. I think it's fun.
Feel free to CC my personal email. I'm not against it.
All of our emails are everywhere. You can Google anyone and find like where their mom lives. So it's like the internet's crazy.
You can do not Google where my mom lives.
I'm not. I mean,
she'll be so angry. I wonder if you could. Nobody do it though.
Nobody do it. Don't try. Don't test me. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's just a ridiculous fucking experience. I don't know. It's just, I hate.
We love you, Jade.
I love you, Jade. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thanks for
being
so
real. Send us your Instagram.
Yeah.
I really follow
do.
Us on Instagram. We've definitely
I
interacted
think like,
yeah, with
yeah, her
you
name
on
looks
Instagram
familiar
before.
When I saw it. But yeah, thanks for being so real. And I can just tell by the way you write that you're like just an intelligent, amazing person. So
go off on Drake.
Day.
Yeah, Drake is so
that was hilarious.
Yes, queen.
Yeah.
I think Drake was trying to make like Rihanna his baby mama, and she was like, I'm sorry, you're just a phase.
Yeah.
She dropped Needed Me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's like, that was like, bye, bitch. Bye. And she cut her all her hair and like, whatever. Got a new tattoo. That's a search.
Don't mess with Pakistan.
Sure. Oh, my
Wait,
God.
Are you watching the Lindsay video now?
No.
Oh.
I wish that was I just was. Her saying it out loud. Do you think that she was Lindsay when she said that?
I just thought.
You think I'm just like watching it?
No, but it's don't fuck with Pakistan. That's a really big, it's a big difference. Don't fuck with Pakistan.
That's actually funny because I was just casually like going through Lindsay Lohan's Instagram and I saw that all happen live.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck? I was in my room, in my bed by myself, and I had no one to talk to. And it was like 11 p.m. at night on a Saturday or Friday or something like that. And I was just like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
That's hilarious because I was on a night shoot that day, and I saw it immediately, and it was so late. I was like, I want to send this to Anna, but she's probably asleep.
No,
I should have just sent it. I should have just
sent it. Oh, my God.
That's the one time you can send it.
Yeah. Oh, thank God someone put that shit on YouTube. Someone was just like, and take this video. You're a crazy bitch.
Thank
the Lord.
Should we read some nice things to get rid of all this
weirdness? I know you said you had an email you wanted.
There's an email I want to read and like maybe like a review or two that are new and encouraging people to review us so I can read it out loud.
Sure.
Can we make fun of an annoying review too?
I'll look. Yeah, of course we can do that.
There's one that just says, get over yourselves. That's really funny.
Oh my
Try
God.
Harder.
It's like, get over ourselves? Okay.
They came for you.
Yes. That's all it says. Like,
you're
over
ended.
Yourself.
You're over.
I was like, okay.
That made me almost quit the podcast.
I can't get up anymore.
I was like, that's it?
Try again.
That's your only criticism? Okay, done. All right, what's next?
Yeah. We get a lot of emails and messages, and they're all so nice. I wish I could read all of them. But I do like taking the time to highlight a little bit, at least. Brooke sent us an email. She says, I'm a white woman who loves your podcast. I had no idea what was going on in the Middle East, so thanks for being educational, entertaining. I have been binge listening to your podcast from the very beginning. I just finished listening to the We Are Sexual Beings episode. I wanted to let you know that you are not alone in never getting the talk. She grew up in Utah in a very religious community. I never got the talk, even at school. Mm-mm. When we did sex ed, it was seriously just like the scene in Mean Girls you guys referenced. I love that Mean Girls was referenced in another episode we did. I really didn't understand what sex was until I took an anatomy class. Her mom was scared because like she was starting to get sexual at a young age. And then her mom was scared of her being a sexual being, like a lot of old-fashioned parents. I started having sex before I even got on birth control because no one really talked to me about it and I didn't even know how to get it. I'm still figuring out my own sexuality and I'm 23 years old. I finally got on birth control, thank God. When my parents finally did talk to me about sex, both of them asked the same question, is it getting serious?
I found out later
that they were asking me if I was having sex. I was so embarrassed because I said yes, and I might not have if I knew that's what they meant. It was a forbidden topic in our family and pretty much everyone I grew up with. Also, I'm bisexual. I'm not even going to get into what growing up bi in Utah was like. I'm sure.
Gnarly, being a queer person there, it's not fun.
Lloyd has direct experience.
Get out. Get out.
Anyway, I just want to let you know that not all white people are sexually liberated. I think we mentioned that like the majority of white people we feel like are more liberated than us. But thank you for taking the time to talk about this stuff. It's great to see what kinds of things connect everybody. We're all human beings and going through crazy shit. Keep being awesome and putting out podcasts. I hope you guys read this. We did, and we read it out loud.
We did.
So thank you so much for writing that. It really is crazy to realize what are the experiences that connect us, because usually those are the same experiences that make us feel the most alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was all alone in my sexual experience being so weird. And when I talked about it on Be Single and like all the other podcasts we talked about relationship stuff on, it's just very comforting to be like, I feel this way too. So
Yeah. That is interesting. Like, can you tell us a little about your experience growing up in Utah?
As a queer person.
At what age do you think you were really starting to come around to wanting, maybe not necessarily like coming out, but just kind of realizing, and were you still in Utah at that point?
Like, I was like dressing in drag and in my mom's clothes, like at like three, and like playing with Barbies. Like, they all got taken away from me. Aww. Like, you know, just like all that shit.
That's
so,
bullshit. Your Barbies aren't allowed to live.
Even when I was living in like Washington as like a really young kid, I was gay as fuck. Queer as fuck.
Being in Florida was like, or not Florida. Fuck.
See, yeah, actually, like,
the
honestly,
other, the other armpit of America,
Utah.
No, just kidding.
No, like, Utah. My memories from Washington are like all like very happy and nice, mm-hmm. and then it's like I moved to Utah and just everything changed because like I lived in Utah, but I also lived like in the northernmost part, like mm-hmm. where they filmed Napoleon Dynamite. Like, it's like meth country, yeah. like farmers. Like, it's not like Salt Lake City's like nicer; it's more progressive. Yeah. But I was like in the middle of nowhere, so mm. it's just there's no resources, there's no sex ed, let alone like queer sex ed. Mm-hmm. So it's just. Yeah. Like, it's gnarly. Like, I really want, like, sex ed to be taught, but I also want queer sex ed to be taught because, mm-hmm. like, after I, like, came out and was, like, 18, like, and was, like, talking to guys, they'd, like, ask me about if I was, like, positive person. And I thought, like, I literally thought that, like, oh. they're asking me if I was, like, happy.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how bad the education is, you
they're
know? And it's
if
like,
you're HIV positive.
Yeah. Like, it's just, like, insane that, like, people. I was like, I mean, like, I'm pretty chill. Like,
oh, my God. That's hilarious.
And, like, luckily someone explained it to me, yeah. but it's, like, we have to, like, educate each other because yeah. it's not getting taught anywhere. Like, I think Utah, there's a county that has, like, the highest pregnancy rate oh in the wow. nation, highest, like, STD rate in the nation.
Yeah, well, she Jesus. Was just saying growing up in Utah, she didn't even know what birth control was.
No.
Even after having sex. Like, that's, come on, we have to do better than that. Like,
there's nothing. It's
sexual education
it's nothing
in this country
there.
Is just appalling.
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to look into like organizations that are like at the head of that, but yeah. it's still just so behind.
That's so crazy.
Sex yeah. ed, which is like a basic necessity.
Yeah, like, you should know what happens when something goes inside you before you put it inside you. Just my thoughts.
Not even just that. I think just understanding your basic anatomy. Like I was disgusted yeah. with myself growing yeah. up. I didn't oh. understand it. I was like. I never want anyone to look at this or touch it yeah. or like I can't even look at it or touch it. Like I was just like, and I mean, maybe part of that is like having like shame as far as like being a woman and everything, but also it's the lack of education and not understanding it and also being taught to be ashamed of it and yeah. your sexuality, especially when you're like a girl and like your body explodes and you get boobs and like a period and you're just like, I'm gross.
You're just constantly policed. Yeah. Like Mormons, they have to go in for like I don't know, like every 6 months, like interviews with their like bishop and stuff, and like they just like ask you the most invasive questions when you're 14, and it's just like, ew. Why are you asking me about like sexual things? Like I don't even
I
know what that is.
I
like
hate that
you know,
so much.
Yeah,
that's it's, creepy.
It's like it's pretty crazy. Shit's kind of blowing up there actually. Like the Mormon Church is trying to rebrand right now because if you Google Mormon, like. Everything comes up, so they're trying to make the members not say Mormon anymore so they can't Google it
oh my
and
God.
Like see like all the shit that's going down because there's been like mass resignations. There's this lawyer in Salt Lake City that like you can put paperwork through him. I actually did when I moved like 5 years ago to like legally retract my temple blessings. Like I had to like file paperwork.
Wow. What religion were you raised?
Mormon.
Holy yeah. shit, I didn't know that. Did yeah. you know that?
I mean, I had a vague
like,
idea
Utah.
From Utah.
I mean yeah. like, I figured Utah, but, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, my family, like, they're really involved with it. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any other members of your family that aren't?
Yeah, like, I'm close with my sister and my mom, and they've, like, come around, but, like...
Are they still
it's,
in
like,
Utah?
Yeah, but it's, just, like, just barely that I'm, like, talking with them
wow.
again. Like, it was, like...
It's been
like,
a long time.
They met my boyfriend, like, and just, like, were totally awful, and it's, like, I was, like, introducing
oh, no.
them. To,
he's
like,
amazing. I
yeah,
love him.
And it's just, like, I just was, like, okay, well... You don't get
How
to see
could you
me.
Be rude to him? Ugh, monsters.
Well, it's just Sorry. Like my fucking siblings, like any fucking person they brought home, like over the years, it was just like embraced open
yeah.
arms because they're all straight. And
straight
it's just
and
like
white.
Any random dude or girl they brought home, it was just like exciting and they're happy about it. And so it's just like there's a
yeah.
long way to come for those people.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'm. Really happy you got out because meeting you yeah. has been a blessing in my life.
Oh, thanks. I know. I'm really glad to meet you guys too.
Yeah, but Sophie did bring up a good point. When you introduced yourself, you didn't say your last name.
Oh, Galbraith.
Also, I did not
for
ask
everyone's
you.
Files.
Yeah.
Also, this is more as an educational moment because I fuck up all the time. But in the future, don't assume someone's gender pronouns. I assume that he prefers he. That was a mistake on my part, and I should have asked before. I should have just called him Lloyd, because that's his
Shireen,
that's
you're not
their
fucking
name.
Up, though. Like, I literally, like, cried to you the other day about, like, about, like, not knowing, like, what I identify as.
I know,
and,
but,
like,
but I that conversation hit me as soon as I said
yeah.
the he pronoun, and I was like, fuck.
But I don't know. Like, I really don't have a preferred pronoun right now, because
okay.
I'm just, I'm, like,
you're figuring it
for
out.
The first time in my life, I'm not, like, policing myself. Yeah. Like, I'm just letting myself...
And you're 20, you said you were 26.
Yeah, I'm 26.
I think
yeah.
that's amazing to be in your mid-20s and then be like, I'm still discovering myself.
I'm pissed, honestly. What? I'm like, no, I'm pissed because it's like, wait, I could have been wearing, like, dresses and, like, doing makeup, like, since yeah. I was, like, a kid, and, like, I'd yeah. be, like, so much better makeup now. Like, oh, I'm just, like, you know, like, it just... Yeah. I feel like... Like, there's just years taken away from me where I was, like, too worried about, like, being, like, masculine and stuff. And
I mean, I understand what you, where you're coming from, and I mean, feel the same, but...
It's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I was raised by a mom who does not engage in a lot of look stuff. I mean, not that she doesn't engage in look. It's crazy. She gets her whole face fucking threaded. Like, get the fuck out of here. But she's not someone who, like, cares about anything. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so, like, she's driven by just, like, huh. being happy. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I was raised in like a, you don't really have to do anything, you can be you.
Yeah,
I was very lucky awesome. In that sense. But then sometimes I'd be like, wow, but I don't really know how to do makeup or ever want to do my makeup. And then it was like a weird hump of being like, oh, I don't actually have to do anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like, that's really like an experience that I think a lot of people don't have. And your mom is awesome.
My mom is she's very natural in the sense that she everything she has done, you would never know she's having it mm-hmm. done. Like, she keeps it all, like, she has, like, discreet. Intense, like, collagen, like, lotions and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you would never know because it's not like she's getting yeah. Botox straight up in front of your face.
Yeah. Skincare.
But she does everything she's so into skincare.
My mom, I think a lot of Arab or Middle Eastern
moms
are.
My mom, like, ships me creams. Cleans,
me too.
If you will. And I'm like, I have 15 of these. She's like, you need more.
Every time I go home, my mom, like, gives me an eye cream. She was like, just take it. And I'm like, I yeah. have one. She's like, just take it.
Yeah, I have, like,
give
a
it to
neck
me.
Cream. Yeah.
Like, I need it.
I have a really good one for you.
Dark
from my mom. Oh, I have a really good one. It's literally for removing that.
Is it the retinol
yes.
one?
Yes.
No, it's like something. So my mom is like really into like Avon. She's like has done it for so long. She knows all the like really yeah. good. She's tried everything so much that she's like, okay, this one's garbage. This one actually yeah. works.
Not
so
sponsored by one. Avon BTW.
Not sponsored by Avon.
Send us
my
beauty
mom.
Products.
Yeah.
But we open to it.
Fuck Mary Kay. We're only Avon.
But if Mary Kay, you're listening, yeah. open to that too.
Yeah, send
yeah.
Us,
so
send
now
us
I'm on that like low key mm-hmm. maintaining your face body yeah. shit because my mom helped me figure it out.
Yeah, my mom is also really much into skincare. But growing up, she was always so put together and like very beautiful. Except like if you heard on the latest call she was on with us when she was covering her hair, she kind of lost that part of her. But her real self like emerged after she uncovered and like. She's always just like so European. Like she when we were in Europe, she looked like she belonged there. Like she just
European.
Looks good all the time. And I think a lot of Middle Eastern culture is kind of superficial. Like
oh yeah, definitely.
So like
a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah. So
a lot of eyebrows being drawn on
yeah.
or tattooed on.
I think that's a big reason why a lot of Middle Eastern girls in particular have like body issues. But then again, a lot of girls have body issues, so maybe it's not just culture specific or whatever. But
body dysmorphia.
Yeah, it's real fucking it's real fucking shit.
Yeah.
I have it aggressively, I'm learning.
I had it since I was a kid.
Oh my God,
something
same.
I'm realizing is I might not. I'm still doing the keto diet. I'm almost 2 months, baby, guys. Remember yes. when I brought this shit up?
Is there like a time where you're gonna stop?
See, that's the problem I'm realizing right now is no matter how much weight I lose, I will still consider myself overweight, and it's like something I've slowly come to terms with. Like I've lost like 25 pounds.
Yeah, you look awesome.
Yeah, you
I
look great.
Still in my mind, I'm like, when, what the fuck, like. I'm so fat. Like, and that's a problem. Like, I'm like seeing it like, but you're not fat. You're losing. You look so much better in the sense like you've lost a lot of like the sugar, whatever mm-hmm. weight. But then I'm getting stuck in these like mental cycles where I'm like, oh, fuck. I can't. Yeah. I might just have to just learn to just accept. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll start yeah. going to therapy again to aggressively figure out.
I do want to retract something. I think sometimes when I see someone and I'm like, you look good, and like implying that they've lost weight, did not mean like it doesn't mean you didn't look amazing before. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of times
I had that baby weight I had to lose.
No, I'm serious though. Like, you looked amazing before, and you still look great now. But I think sometimes, especially me, when I had an eating disorder, like more intensely, when someone said I looked good, that meant like. Like I look skinny, you know?
Yeah.
And I should just keep not eating to keep staying skinny.
Yeah.
Like, so I think it's important to realize like complimenting someone, like this is me talking to myself that I just complimented you, like complimenting someone is like, it's make sure you're not like reinforcing like a thought in their head or your head that like you didn't look good before. You know what I mean?
You know, it's actually even more fucked up. I have a complete fear of losing too much weight as well.
Wait, really?
Like, just being, like, regular, like, in my correct BMI, I'm scared of how I will look because I'm not used to being that thin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it actually freaks me out. You have to get used to it. You really do.
I like, don't know what to do.
And I lost a lot of weight when I was younger,
Yeah, you've lost a lot of weight, too.
Well, recently and before, like, when I was younger, even. But, yeah, you have to get used to your new body. I mean, I'm still getting used to mine. I'm, like, looking at myself. I'm just, like, I honestly, I had a moment the other day where, like, I saw through it, like, my body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
And, like, what I saw in the mirror, I was, like, wait, it looked very distorted to me for a second.
Yeah.
And then I, like, looked again, and I was, like, wait. Is that how I'm seeing myself?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, I'm looking at myself like I'm gross.
You feel insane.
Like,
it feels like you're fucking losing your mind.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going through right now. I'm, like, trying to come to terms with just letting it go and just trying to focus on being healthy and not so much of, like, but my body.
Exactly.
I look a certain way. What do these pants look
just,
like?
I don't weigh myself anymore.
Yeah, exactly. The weight, the number does not mean anything. If muscle weighs more than fat. Like, I weigh more than I did a while ago. It's because I have more muscle. You know what I mean? Like, I just want you to feel happy and healthy. Like, do what makes you feel good. Like, I eat the way I do, and it's usually healthy on the healthier side because I feel better, not because I want to look a certain way. And I think I've tried to think about it that way as far as my, like, recovery or whatever. So as long as that's happening, I just don't, like, if... That's why I asked about, like, when you were going to stop it, kind of thing.
That's the thing is, I have a joke that I want to weigh less than my boyfriend just because that's my... That's just my joke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'll do it till sometimes I really have some days where I'm like, I cannot keep eating like this. I just want to put my face in some, like, pizza, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like I said, I've lost 25 pounds and I don't know. I need to go back to therapy.
Therapy is
it's crazy that, like, weight
it.
Loss has triggered me to be like,
that's
you are
good,
not
though.
Okay.
I think that, like, honestly, like, people don't talk about weight and body image issues a lot of the time because I just feel like all of us have been made to feel like we're stupid for, like, being like, oh, like, do I look fat? Like, I'm sure all of us can think of, like, some guy being like, why do you care what you like, you know? Like,
that's
all
the problem.
Of us have heard that. So it's like, even just us talking about it openly, like, about our struggles with body dysmorphia and eating, like, it's just good because I think we all still have to process it.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, has, like, a really weird relationship with food, or at least
we do. And a weird relationship with your body. Like, seeing your body change drastically or, like, not just, like, being in your body is such a weird fucking experience. And talking about it, I think, makes it less... Like, makes you feel less alone, and that's the whole fucking point of this podcast.
Yeah, that's actually to your point. When people, like, when I would, like, talk about, like, oh, well, you know, I have, you know, I've always wanted to be skinnier, people are like, you shouldn't feel that way, you just love yourself. It's like, but that doesn't stop the fact that I feel that way, and I should be allowed to voice that with someone without someone being like, whoa, man, that's not appropriate, you shouldn't feel that way. It's like, it's gotten to a point where, like, people being like, well, I think you should be so beautiful in your feel so beautiful in your body that you can't even remotely express a single negative feeling about your body, or you're considered, you know, a certain way. And it's like, dude, back off and just let me have my fucking feels about feeling overweight or underweight or eating like something. Like, we should be able to be open about this kind of stuff without being told you shouldn't feel that way because that's not how you're supposed to feel. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, but also, like, look at fucking society. Why do you think we feel this way? Like, it's been ingrained and powdered into our fucking heads.
Yeah, it's like that happens, and at the same time, you're not supposed to feel that way.
Yeah.
It's like, give me a fucking break. I feel fat. Okay, bitches, I feel fat.
Just, I think you should look at it as, like, and I do it with myself too. It's just like, I have to remind myself every day that it's just okay for me to eat, like, first of all. But also just, I have to also be like, I'm doing this for myself. I'm trying to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me.
It's no one else
and any
you.
Shame I have attached to it, that's my own stuff to deal with. But I'm not going to let other people tell me that I'm being, like, intense or
whatever. I know. That's what's weird. Yeah. It's like, you just have to kind
of... And the whole purpose of life is self-improvement, y'all. And no one else is a part of that but you. Like, you will self-improve. I think, I mean, my opinion about the point of life is just to keep self-improving and become the best version of yourself, whatever that is. And it doesn't mean you're skinny. It doesn't mean you're fit or whatever. Just being happy. And happy is just like a experience, not a destination. So whatever the fuck.
Anna's getting it. She's not eating bread. And it's
bread,
good.
Not eating carbs. Except for yesterday, I ate a massive almond croissant in the fucking conference room because I was like,
supporting
this. I'm about to eat this whole fucking croissant.
Ate a huge
it was
burrito
huge.
Earlier.
It was like that
I'm
big.
Proud
you guys
of you.
Can't see. It was huge. It was like two fists put together plus one.
And
then yesterday, I was like, damn, my stomach hurts. It does not know how to process carbs anymore.
That's the worst part.
I went to the fucking stadium with my friend, and we just, like, ran up and down the stairs until I was, like, passed out on some, like, cement blocks. Like, yeah, wait, this is fucking crazy. And she was like,
Just stay hydrated.
Yeah, drink I'm hydrated. Water, yeah.
I'm at all the fountains. Do you think we have time to read a couple of reviews?
Do you want to save them for next week?
Okay.
We're kind of close. Also, literally another recording was supposed
to
start 3 minutes.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Also, I have to go back to work. What am I saying?
Oh, hey. follow us on Instagram at ethnicallyambig, A-M-B-I-G. Follow us on Twitter at ethnicallyamb, amb, whatever. Go to our website, ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. I'm on Twitter at Anna Hosnie, A-N-N-A-H-O-S-S-N-I-E-H. Sheree-ray.
I'm on Twitter as Shereen Y, S-H-E-R-E-E-N-W-H-Y. And on Instagram, I'm Shiro Hero, S-H-E-E-R-O-H-E-R-O. Follow me on the things and keep up with us. And Lloyd, please fucking plug yourself. Follow me. I just said him. Oh my God. Go follow Lloyd.
Shereen, it doesn't matter. but yeah, follow Subvert Magazine. That's the magazine I work for. It's just at Subvert Mag, but it's just S-U-B-V-R-T.
There's no E in Subvert.
And then I'm just Lloyd Galbraith on Instagram and Twitter.
Can you spell that for them?
LLOYDGALBRAITH. Thanks. And then Twitter, you can just find me talking shit to Anna.
I love
in her mentions. You'll see me.
Honestly, your Twitter gives me life. Like, your clapbacks sometimes are just like gold. I love it so much.
Yeah, I believe it's Lloyd_LA. At Lloyd_LA.
Follow
Lloyd.
I need to change my Twitter app.
Follow him and then you'll see us interacting over like just the randomest shit.
Yeah, I need to get more active on Twitter because you're crushing me with these followers.
Oh, and go to SubvertMagazine.com.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the feature we were on in the spring, thanks to Lord, we were like had this huge spread in the magazine online, and the photos are amazing. You probably, if you've been following us for a couple months, maybe you saw it, but if not, you can look at it on the website Subvert.com.
Yeah. Y'all look snatched. Yeah. Anna has some tips for dealing with haters in there. If you wanna know how to do it.
Yeah, and I talk about being queer and like managing that as a Syrian American woman. And honestly, when you approached us, I felt so seen. I don't know if you know that,
oh
but
God.
Like, first of all, the fact that you listen was like the fact that people listen to us anyway makes me feel weird. Like I feel like I forget what happens as soon as I leave the studio, and I just like it's a conversation that I had, and then I just happen to have headphones on. But when you emailed us, and for me in particular, like you acknowledging and being supportive of my queerness was so validating for me. It made me feel so seen by a stranger, and then now you're a friend, and I just wanted to know that I appreciate that.
Like, I was like nervous like approaching you because I would like listen to your show, and then I like really looked up to you, and yeah, I was like nervous that you
guys
would be like, who the fuck is this magazine?
That you felt that way.
We were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You just, like,
turned down a lot of magazines before you came along. No
but like the feeling's mutual. I really like appreciate what you're doing and what you're saying for like people that just identify as queer and are still figuring it out.
Because... Also, there's an article that I'm very late in writing to you, but stay tuned. I might have an article on Subvert.
Shireen's gonna have an article come out soon, and we're also in December at the Lash in downtown LA. We're doing like a queer like film festival tonight.
Nice.
So I'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, you can bite that ass.
I bite that ass.